Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story, World of Ink, and Michigan Avenue Media all rolled up in one. I'm not sure. I put all these names out on all the posts. We're going to have a great show today. This is, as everybody knows, one of my favorite subjects, writing, directing, producing, screenplays, children's. It's going to be a great show today. Randall Derrick, who's been on several times, has brought a great guest to us, and they're working on a project together. Charlie Ayer and him are working on a project, and we will talk about that in a few minutes. And we got a lot of things to talk about today, and it's going to be a lot of fun today because this is something I know that everybody's interested in, because everybody, when they think they have a book that's good, they want to make it into a movie or a play, and so we'll have a really good discussion on that. And next week, I don't think I have a show. I have a show. Oh, yes, I do. It's already June. I can't believe it's June already. I know. We finally hit 80. We're like 90. It's Chicago. And so I actually feel like it's summer now. Okay, I do have a show on the 12th with Mikey Brooks in June. And that is, Mikey is an illustrator. And actually, Randall, you were on with him, Mikey Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were a few months ago. And, well, the show is not about actually his illustrations, but he is now a stay-at-home dad with 5 kids. So he's going to talk about that. I know that. I know. That's why I said, this is a topic. And his wife is working, and he is working also doing illustrations, and he does banners, and he does, he did my World of Ink new banner. And he's really talented, but being home with 5 kids, I think that's really a talent. So we'll be talking about that on the 12th. I know. And we're going to have another show on powerful women characters with Brandy Potter, who found me from being on that promo week that I was on when I also was talking about how to be on a radio show, which ended up to be just me for 15 minutes, and I couldn't believe all these people listened to it, but they did. And so she's one of the guests that's coming on, and we have one more person and then I think I might take a few weeks off, but we're going to have this person on. Her name is Anna Ford. I saw her in a magazine talking about something she had just started. It's called bookclubs.com, and she shows people how to track, I guess there's a lot of book clubs now, which I didn't realize how many there are, and there are. So she's going to be on to how to tell people how to stay organized, and then we're also going to elaborate on, book clubs and things like that, because I do think that people are going back sometimes a little more than they were before to reading paperbacks, because everybody has been a little tired about being on their phone and texting, so they need some alone time. So I think this is probably a good time to talk about that. So that's scheduled for June. So now I'm going to let Randall introduce Charlie, and then we're going to hear some stories that I'm dying to hear this, how they first met. Okay, Randall? Hi, Randall.
Well, hi, how are you? Thank you again. It's so wonderful to be on your show. I love doing it. It's so much fun.
Thank you.
The one thing I wanted to say to start is you're only as good as the people you work with. And even though it's 90% perspiration and only 10% inspiration, unless you're inspired by someone or something, ideas fall flat. They just don't happen. And I've been blessed. My best friend is and still is Kristen Cox. And one of the reasons so many of my projects were done, all the documentaries and that I was able to do, and so much of my work was done, is because I found someone, or she found me, or how we got together, and she was the producer of almost everything that was successful that I did. And I learned that having someone as talented and as smart as Kristen Cox working with me, I'm so much better at what I do. So, and now Kristen is doing all these different things and has moved, you know, on, and I've been looking for someone that I want to be inspired with and inspired by, and I'm going to let him take over now, because our history is, and we were destined to work together again. So I'm going to just pass it on to Charlie. And go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Great,
how
Randall,
are you?
Thank you. Hi, Marcia. I'm very
Hello.
Well. Thank you for having me on. This is great. Can you hear me okay?
I'm happy to. I'm happy. This is going to be fun. All right, so let's hear. Well, maybe you want to say a few things that you do, and then tell us the story of how you met. I'm waiting to hear this one.
Sure,
okay.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a media producer. I live in New Braunfels, Texas, which is in the heart of the Hill Country, just north of San Antonio, south of Austin. And I do media production, video production, photography, branding work, websites. I really help small businesses and organizations tell a story. As you know, today it's all about story and about content rising to the top. And so I have a devious little back bedroom business with a handful of computers and lots of cameras and me and a few helpers now and again, where we do all kinds of cool things for people. My company's called Front Row Multimedia, and you know, I do everything but weddings. Let's put it that way. So, so I make TV
front
commercials.
Row. What's it called? Front Row. What is it? I didn't know about that. Front Row.
It's called Front Row Multimedia, and it's just a small business. Most of my clients are local here in New Braunfels, San Antonio. So I do all kinds of creative work for folks, and then I'm also a beekeeper. I have this.
I noticed
wicked
it.
Obsession
I saw
with honeybees,
I did
yeah,
it.
which is a real passion of mine. So that's, you know, I work with bits and bytes all day, and I'm looking over, you know, lit up rectangles, and so getting out into the woods and looking at my bees and working with bees. I capture bees from nuisance situations, and so that's a way to kind of get hands on out in the world and move my body a little bit too. So I met Randall Dark many moons ago as a wide-eyed suburban Pittsburgh 19-year-old kid after my freshman year at New York University, looking for something to do in media for the summer, and got a contact through a guy named Barnaby, through a friend of a friend, and he said there's this group of guys in Manhattan doing some incredible things with this thing called high-definition television. And it was almost like a rumor at the time. You know, this is the early 90s. And so I put in a call to Randall and, you know, was shied away from my old restaurant job for the summer and found a place to stay in Manhattan. And I walked into Randall's office. It was, I think it was just off Fifth Avenue. And there he was, long-haired, wild man with this cool office with his famous brother's sculpture. And I how do I be like you? And I just like, I want to play this summer. And it was a very inspiring summer. We had Randall and his team were running projects out of the Ed Sullivan Theater, which was then kind of, you know, just, they had been a CBS production facility for like a, you know, for sitcom,
David Letterman,
like,
and,
for many years.
Yeah.
No, this was pre David Letterman. It was kind of I don't want to say derelict, but it was in between, right? It had been used as a video box.
Yeah.
And so Randall and his team were bringing it back to life, and we were hosting all kinds of events. We were shooting, testing cameras and shooting a documentary all around Manhattan. So we had this great truck, and we drove around Manhattan, you know, getting these scenic shots and interviewing people. And it was amazing. It just very, very much inspired me. And we kind of went our separate ways after the summer, and fast forward about a million years, and my career has taken, I don't even know if you could call it a career. It's been a wander, but you know, not all who wander are lost. I've spent some really neat years.
I think a lot of us do that.
That's right. But But what runs the course of my career is writing and story and visual storytelling. And now here I am. Randall and I just live down the road from one another. He's in Austin, and we've reconnected in recent years. And, you know, when Randall says, "Hey, I have an idea," you know, you had me at "Hey." So yeah. So here we are.
Randall has a lot of ideas, right? He's good. You know, it's
yeah.
true. It's really good. Yeah, I know how that is. I totally know how that is. But that's a good thing,
yeah.
you know.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Yeah, and
so
you're only as good as your last idea.
Of his career, too.
Yeah.
Well, I've been blessed.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been blessed. I've got to work, as I said, with people like Kristen Cox and, you know, Sharon and Scott Rankin. One of my favorite people I work with is Fred Miller, and we did Go Sing together. And, you know, I also believe in vertical integration. So not only do we, you know, write, direct, and produce documentaries or feature films, look at how else do you create revenue. And, you know, one of my good friends, Paula Lombard, owns Footage Bank. And so when I look at projects, I go, okay, I could sell the edited documentary. I've got stock footage I could work with Footage Bank with. I've got still shots. So the hardest thing to do is to make a living in what we do. And so you
Which
can't
is,
think
hard.
Of going,
it's very
oh,
hard.
I'm going to
– Right. It's hard.
It's really hard. So you have to be creative in what you do. When I wrote Aesir Frog, The Brains Behind the Bunny, it's a book. It's an app. It's a screenplay. It's going to be a video game, blah, 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 all the above. And because
yeah.
you can't just derive one rep, but the heart and soul of this is what Charles and I are going to do when we get funding, create the experience through a feature film. And because it's how we're doing it is really, and we can't talk too much about it, but it's not animation. It's act in makeup, in costumes. And it's the story of how the Aesir Bunny came about. So how cool is that? How fun is that?
I think, you know, if you can really do something and get the kids interested and, you know, have a lot of different media out of it, this is a good thing. I mean, because kids are very receptive to, you know, this type of thing, and it's really a good way to, you know, get into this market. So all right, let's say somebody, because I know that a lot of people, they're not asking questions because, you know, we're on the air, but like, who came up with, like, when you come up with an idea, how did you get it this far?
Well, it's when I close my eyes and I think of all the different things and what I want to do with my career. And I've been blessed. I've worked with some amazing people and then I go, I want to do something that's the best thing I've ever done. And I came up with Aesir Frog, The Brains Behind the Bunny. Interviewing all these people knows how the Aesir Bunny came about, so I created an original fairy tale. And
right.
so, and then Charlie and I are going, you know, let's, he and I started talking because, you know, at some point you really want to work with people that are extremely smart, extremely talented, and believe in visions. And Charlie, obviously, the guy I want to work with on this, and we're excited to move forward and get funding. But that, again, that's it too. Because we live, we're not in LA, we're not in New York City. So we've got a crowdfunding site that, you know, Charlie, a little while ago, and we've got 40 days left, and we're trying to raise money through a Kickstarter campaign. So Charlie and I get to control our destiny. So we don't have to go outside and get I don't want to say anything bad about anyone or anything. LA is phenomenal, but bean counters at times change the vision. You know, he and I want to do this together. We don't want it taken from us. So we want to create.
Well, because
you
want your vision,
so we control.
Right? Otherwise, it won't be your vision.
Exactly.
It'll be what somebody else, with the money come. Right.
Well,
it's hard to get money.
It's harder to control the vision. It is. So tell me about it.
Yeah. I know, because, you know, because sometimes what you're thinking doesn't come into what, you know, the people that have the money think about. They, you know, they think about
exactly.
purely
they
money,
change
but,
it.
You know, right. And that's not always the way your vision is of it, but it is hard to get money, though. That's the thing, which it really would be nice if there were if there was money really available from some of the big time production companies that would help, and they wouldn't have the main control, if they would just put some people,
but,
you know,
yeah,
there's
but,
so many good stories out there.
Yeah, but that world doesn't exist. It, you know, as I mentioned, I started writing, directing, and producing theater. And I did, you know, 13 of my have been professionally done. I raised the money for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you can't take an idea. Well, I want Charlie and I to control the vision. And it's easier to control the vision if we find the money ourselves as opposed to the alternative routes. And so that's what we're exploring right now. That's why we have the Kickfunder up and running.
And Kickstarter, the one thing about Kickstarter, Marcia, too, is it's like it's an aggregate of support, right? It's this train going down the tracks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't start with someone else's millions. It starts with your friends and family's 20s. And then someone who says, this is a great idea. I want to be a part of it. I want the DVD. And you know, for $50, I'm going to get a DVD and be connected to these guys. And I want to see this come to life. And then as
so is
the train
what,
goes
is that
down
what
the track,
happens,
it
so,
just
okay.
picks
so
up
maybe
speed.
This is something to talk about because we never really talk about that. All right. So when someone donates, what do they get?
So we have one incentive, which is a $50 donation, which is, you know, which is a DVD of the film. And, you know, our goal is really humble. It's $10,000 to get the ball rolling. And we're well on the way just with friends and family having not really taken things public. And so we've gotten a lot of good feedback. People are saying they want to know more. That looks like fun. I mean, that's what's driving this project is that it's fun. It's fanciful. It's a message about love. So and identity.
And I think
it's going to resonate with a lot of people. So.
Yeah, I think at this point, you're right, I think this is a good thing. And, you know, anything that can bring people together sounds really good because I think that's what we need. So, all right, so I didn't really know, I didn't really exactly understand what that is when people give money. Okay, so they just really want you to succeed, in other words. So they're pushing it on by giving you a donation, which is a good thing.
Correct. Kickstarter is all about, it is a donation. It's not an investment. So it's a gift.
Okay.
I like you guys. I like what you're doing. Here's a gift. And then quite often you'll have multiple levels of incentives. And ours, like I said, for $50 you get a DVD. And it's just really folks kind of nudging the project along. And the idea is not huge amounts of money for individuals, which is fine as well. We won't say no.
Right.
But it's really about small amounts of money or modest amounts of money for many. And then the project itself, just like you look at social media marketing and social media and actually all marketing now puts the hands in puts control in the hands of the end user, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things like reviews and feedback and comments means that the people who watch and who buy and who click actually have a lot of control. And the aggregate of their feedback means a lot. So that's the idea behind a Kickstarter-type campaign is that it's kind of this organic grassroots push of a project down the road.
Yeah, because I think that's, you know, it's so unfortunate that people can't get their projects out there. There are so many good projects that just get denied. And, you know, I think people, you know, I've always told people, just don't give up. I'm still here, like, after 20 years, and I have books now instead of the screenplays. I mean, I was optioned, but I couldn't get them sold to the right places. They were optioned. But as you know, options, you know, you don't get any money with options. And then if they hold it too long sometimes I don't like options if they're more than 6 months to a year, because if 6 months or a year nothing happens, it is not going to happen for some people. Mm. So, you know,
well,
I want people to keep going on, though.
And here's what's important, too, is at the end of the day for a lot of people, sure, we all have to make money. We all want to pay our mortgages and pay off our cars, et cetera. But it's like, as I said with Angel Singh, you know, the Rankins and Fred Miller, their hearts were in the project because how many Christmas movies get done where it's just the whole family can sit down and something together.
Yep.
And that's why I love Angel's Thing is and the people that were involved. And that's why Charlie and I are so excited about Easter Frog is that, sure, we're going to market to young mothers that have young kids because it's geared for kids that look in the mirror and hate what they see and saying is it's not what's on the outside that's important, it's what's on the inside important.
Right.
But it's also we're looking at giving it to young mothers so that give it to their children so that will feel better about themselves. And the other thing too, it's a good ride, and the mother can sit and have quiet time for 2 hours while their kids have the Easter frog. So it's just a win-win across the board with this.
Well, right, because I think that's what we need out there. You know, honestly, it's really, you know, it is about the kids, you know, because entertaining them is important. And, you know, if you've ever been to the movies where you see, you know, like a blockbuster, you look at all these kids coming and they love it, you know, kids. But it doesn't have to be blockbuster for kids to like it. And that's what the thing is. Kids just want a good story, you know, and they really want to sit and enjoy it.
And if you look at it, Babylon is also a friend who's done young stories, also involved with the program for the young audience. And people like that do it for the right reasons. It's not about – sure, we all want a blockbuster, but it's not just about that. It's about doing good story for the right reasons.
That's true.
Yeah. We're not trying to be exploitive. We're not trying to, you know, follow a hot trend. We're trying to do the right thing with this.
Because when I named this show 9 years ago, I called it A Good Story is a Good Story, because the manager that I had at the time for my screenplays, he said, just write a good story. And I think that one of the things is, if you are proud of what you've written, and maybe it's not a blockbuster book, but if people come up to you and they're enjoying it, this should, you know, when you're a writer, a real writer, it can't be about the money, because otherwise you won't write. You know, it has to be about the idea you come up with. And, you know, kids are a great audience. I mean, I have 5 children's books. I started that way. You know, and I think it's really important. Yeah. So I think, you know, that if it can get out there in the right way, there's a market that wants that, a big market.
Exactly.
But it has to get out there.
Yeah. And with that in mind, sure, you know, Charlie and I will get this done and show it to the traditional way for traditional distribution. But in the meantime, I've been working really, really hard to grow my LinkedIn reach, my stage reach, my Facebook reach. Like my LinkedIn, I'm at, you know, 25,000 connections on LinkedIn alone. So that when I talk to investors or distributors going, look, here's what could happen. Worst case scenario, we release it for a $2 or a $3 digital download through these other social platforms, because I'm talking about just my reach. You know, I've got almost 45,000 one degree of what I call one operation through LinkedIn.
So
when you're writing
letters or talking to people, are you mentioning your outreach? Is that what you put in their letters? Telling them?
I don't know, but we haven't really talked to anyone. You're probably the first hearing all of this. Obviously, Fred Miller a little bit in the Rankins and Chris and Cox know some of it. But this today is our coming out party.
Oh, all right.
Right, Charlie?
Okay. It is.
We like that. We like that. You know, we like that. You know, and honestly.
Hi,
you know,
everybody.
Well,
hello,
and,
world.
Yeah. And the good thing is now the shows, you know, I signed up, and actually my shows are on iTunes now. You know, I think what we talked before the show started, I mean, the markets are open, and people really want these projects to be, you know, done, you know, and it's really, that's why I never stop doing this, because I do believe it can happen, but you can't give up. You know, you have to keep going. I mean, that's why I said with my screenplays, I now made a few of them into books, because I'm happy with that, because at least the story that I wanted, they're changed a lot because, you know, over the years I've changed, but they're my ideas coming into a book, and at least I have control that they're out there. If it's in my drawer sitting there, it's not anywhere. You know, and no one will ever see it. So if it's out as a project, as anything, you never know what could happen. So that's why when you're starting this, you don't know what could happen. It could really blossom into what you want. But you can't not try. you know, that's what people need to do is try.
Yep.
You never know. You know,
that's
I mean,
right. That's what it's all about.
You know, so. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really important because I think that anybody that, you know, people when they're listening to these shows, I mean, don't only think of it, you know, if it's not done in a month or two. You can keep going with things. And, you know, I've talked about this before. Sometimes, you know, when you go to a bookstore, they'll say, like, oh, you know, somebody will ask for a book and they'll say, oh, this is, you know, an old book. But that's not true. It's a story. It doesn't matter how old it is. If it's a good story, yeah. What's the difference? You know, and I think people are always, yeah. They're trying to invent the wheel when kids are easy because they like a good story. And they're hard to please,
yeah,
but if
there
it's
was
a good story, they like it.
It was a story recently about how Disney on their, like, their kids programming are going back to all these sitcom plot lines from the 70s,
yep.
And borrowing these elements because the kids, you know, growing
right.
up now, they haven't obviously seen those. So they're bringing them back to life. The Three's Company over,
yep.
you know, misoverheard conversation plot or whatever. Yep. Those are all coming back and Disney
yep.
says this works. So there are elements of this project without going into too much detail that are very much a nod to the past. And I think it'll be very quirky and funny and really, really capture.
But kids
people.
Like that. I mean, because even when you watch some of the, you know, movies, when I like old movies, I like old, you know, and sometimes when you look at some of the plots, they're very simple plots, but they're really good stories. So you can't stop that from people will always like a good story, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, all bells and whistles. It just has to be something that is interesting. And I like, you know, where you have a message, but it's not that much of a message. The characters do it for you. I didn't even realize some of my books, which my children's books, people say there is a message. I didn't plan it. You just write a story and sometimes it is a little message, but you don't really know it. Until somebody says, oh, you
yeah.
know, this is a message. I'm going like, oh, all right. You know, because you're writing something that, you know, is from your heart. So I think that
yeah.
always has a place out there, I think.
Absolutely.
Which is
yeah.
why that
Absolutely.
Movie,
you're
which
right.
is why that movie, listen, everybody could laugh about Hallmark movies and they go, oh, whatever. You know what? They have the huge market because people want that kind of story. They want to believe like there's a fairy tale ending. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Angel Sing aired, I think, 6 times on Hallmark at Christmas time. You know,
yeah.
And
oh, it's probably going to go
I don't
every
know
year.
What the ratings were.
It's
going to
go every year.
I think there's 5 more years of it, but. For a movie to be played 6 times over the Christmas holidays, be a supply and demand. You can't have
yes.
Hallmark playing our movie that often unless people want a feel-good story, and that's what Charlie and I are creating. We want
right.
to create a feel-good story, and it may sound corny, but it's true. We're creating for children of all ages because I'm you know, my wife says it all the time, Randall, you're a little kid half the time, and I am. Because you're only as you feel, or as you act, maybe. And maybe I need to get a little bit more mature. I don't know. But the thing is, I want. There's a child in all of us. So sure, I want the 6-year-old to go, oh, the Easter Bunny came about, and I want the 60-year-old to go, wow, I never knew that's how the Easter Bunny came about. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're going for.
I think it's not, there's nothing wrong with still having some child in you. Otherwise, it's kind of boring, you know. I mean, it's nice if you can explore and, you know, and you find things funny and you find, you know, and you're always thinking of new things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's fun. You know, you just don't want to be like everybody
yeah.
else. You know, you want to have your own flair. So I think that's good, you know, and if, especially
right.
as a writer. A writer, producer, and director needs that. And if they don't have that, they're missing something because you have to
yeah.
have that.
Well, you have
yeah.
to have space to play and to
yes.
be light and to be open to new things. I think, and then that self-critic, you got to let that go. And then, and you know,
yeah.
you that's what the editing process is about always. So, yeah.
But I think that's the hardest part, don't you? The critic, you know, because when you're reading your own work or you're doing your own thing, it's so hard because sometimes, you know, and that's why when people, you know, like your work, you're so happy to have them talk about it, because sometimes you're thinking like, really? You know, because you don't, and you hear it from another direction than you're thinking, you know, and that's a hard thing
yeah.
to let go as yourself, you know, just let go and like what
yeah.
you write.
Sadly, that hasn't been my problem.
That's a good thing.
It's the opposite. Well, no, it's like the, I don't lack confidence, and that's I think to my detriment. And having people, you know, like the Rankins or Kristen Cox looking at
yeah.
our work, or like Charlie and I are going to go back and forth, because I've had a very young age a fair amount of success writing, directing, producing theater, and you get really cocky, and you think you're more important than what you actually do, and that's the death of creative people. You're not more important, you know, and you
yeah.
need to be part
yeah.
of a team, and that was a long, hard lesson for me to learn, but I finally learned it, and that's why
yeah, but,
I'm so excited to work with Charlie.
But wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I always said this, people go, oh, it's so unrealistic. But actually, if writers, producers, directors, if everybody really worked together on a project, you know, it really would be good, and it would be fun, and it would have so much creativity, instead of the way, like, you have to send it to a production company. They go, oh, we don't really know if we want to do that. We don't like the idea.
Exactly.
We don't want to change it. And, you know, everything changes then. You know, and it's not the
yeah,
same,
that,
but a project is good.
And here's why I really love what Charlie set up. Right now, you know, we have this Kickstarter program, and we have 18
yeah.
backers so far, and we still have 4 days to go. And I go, 18 backers. These backers are going to be part of our family. It's not, hey,
yeah.
give us some money and miss you, love you, bye. One of the backers, who happens to be a personal friend of mine, his daughter is going to be in the movie. And it's not just because he gets money, but it's also
yeah.
because she wants to be an actress. Now, we'll
yeah.
audition her, and I'm not mentioning names, obviously,
right.
but if she's got some talent, a bigger role. If she's horrible, like I'm a terrible actor, but trust me, I'm going to have a cameo in our movie. I'll be in the back row sitting having eaten something, and Charlie will go pan to the left. Randall's still in the shot, but we're here to have fun.
Yeah,
we're here to
I
help
know.
Friends and family. That's the gig.
But I do. But really,
Charlie's
you know what?
Old.
I actually think that would
find,
be the best.
We gotta find
way.
A big scene where Randall's way in the.
You know, I do think it's a good idea, though, for people, you know, to really think about it. And it really, you know, sometimes when you hear, you know, some people, if they're doing Netflix or whatever, they're saying it's like a family because they've really worked on it together. And that makes the best writing. And you know, where you somebody – that's why Saturday Night Live, you know, look, they all have – they do their thing. Some of the things that they do work, some don't. You know, I was listening to Tina Fey. She was on David Letterman for Netflix. And some of the things work, some of it doesn't.
Yeah.
But the creativity is there, and they all want to work together. You know, to make it good. And so that's why over the years that has remained still popular all these years later.
Yeah.
With new and different
yeah.
people. He's done that. Listen, Lorne Michaels has done something right, because he's out there for all these years. And he goes with the times. So he picks up a new audience
yep.
all the time. And he has the old audience.
Yep.
He has, I mean, that's hard to do. To keep old and add new like that is incredible. So I think that if more people thought like that, and instead of just you're the writer, you're the producer, you're the director, you give us money, don't have anything to say, this one doesn't like the line. I mean, if they wrote more and they could be together to make a good project, then I think that's the best idea. So I think if you two got this going,
yeah.
it's really good, because you care
yeah.
about it. That's important.
Passionate.
Well, and also the path from idea to screen has gotten a lot shorter
yeah.
than when I met Randall years ago. So the kind of thing that that you can create content, the resistance in the material is so much less with nonlinear editing and with digital cameras. So
yeah.
we're going to be able to do some amazing things, not on a shoestring, but not with millions and billions. So.
Yeah, because it has changed that way, right? I mean, it is different now,
yeah.
you know, and that part is good. And, you know, and also, you know, that's one of the – I think when people don't realize something, when you have new talent coming in, that's good, not only because, you know, the salaries are less. Because sometimes when you're – let's say I have romantic comedies, and that's the – I have several of them. That's really hard because if you don't have two people that are really out there that are, you know, have name – you can't get that romantic comedy done because nobody will go. It's not like a drama or something else. You can add other people. And so that's how it's become. And sometimes you can't afford the salaries. That's what's the killer, is you can't afford all the everything else. The story may be okay, but you have, there's so much it costs you. The production companies don't want to do it because if it fails, then everybody's out the money because they want such big salaries. And that's hard.
The good news for our project is actors in costume and makeup. So it's and we're not looking for celebrities. We're not looking for, you know, high priced acting talent. We're looking for because there's so many really 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 talented people that live in Texas that don't in the LA and that they don't live in New York that would love the opportunity to work. I think we're going to be blown away when we have on our open auditions
for
the lead role.
I think
our door is going to be broken down with just amazing talent because looking for opportunity and it's such a win-win for them and for us.
Look at Utah. A lot of the movies come out of Utah and there's a ton of talent there. And they're, you know, lot of the stars that are on the Hallmark channels, you know, because it's, you know, they're stars. And, you know, and they're not, their salaries aren't insane, so at least the movie can get done. And then, you know, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of the bigger stars are coming into the smaller movies because they're realizing some of these scripts are really good, you know. And that's the thing about Netflix now because, you know, you have a lot of stars that really haven't worked in a while that are really good actors and actresses. They are getting roles that are really good. And that moves them in another level again. And they're not all 20 years old, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
You should go like, where are they? And now they're out there, a lot of them. You know, which is a good thing, I think. So, all right, so with what else? I'm trying to think what we can talk about to tell people because I know that they want projects. They have projects. So when you get the money, what's next? From Kickstarter.
Casting and shooting.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the thing is, because here's what's interesting. I still have relationships with manufacturers. So the technology that we need to do it, a lot of it, when people go, oh, well, how can you do a movie so inexpensive? Well, we're not hiring expensive stars. Charlie and I, between us, we write, direct, produce, shoot, edit, light. A lot of the hard costs for, you know, renting equipment, we won't have that. So, but there's still, we want to pay people. We want to give them something.
That's why
the Kickstarter is really important. And but just as important is not just the money in the Kickstarter, is the people involved. Like right now we have 18 backers in our Kickstarter program.
Yeah.
These are 18 individuals that are committed to follow us. And if they give us $5 or $50, I don't care.
Right.
It's the fact that they're part of our team now, and we will update them and follow the progress. So it's not just, oh, let's wait and see the end of see the movie. The backers get to go on the journey with us. And a lot of people have been on the journey and they love it. And some of them have never been on this journey. And I think they're going to have fun by getting the updates behind the scenes and just the stuff that comes with making a children's feature film. People are going to find it interesting. I could be wrong.
I think
most of them will.
I think they will. Because, you know, if it's a good children's idea, which is, you know, something that really matters, and I think it's, you know, if you've interviewed all these people and then now you have the answer to the Easter Bunny, I think people want to go like, well, what is the Easter Bunny? You know what I mean? So I think you've interviewed enough people, so they're curious. So then certainly, like when you interviewed them, did you have a lot of questions for them, or did you just do short interviews? How did you do that?
It was really short. I basically said, excuse me, how did the Easter Bunny come about?
Okay.
And they'd look at me and go, Randall, I have no idea. And I went, thank you. And 99% of everyone I interviewed, I asked them pointed question saying, how did the Easter Bunny come about? And nobody knows. Some of them would say, well, I think pagan something, something, but they wouldn't even know what that was. So that what got me so excited about the idea. How often do you get to define something that is as institutionalized as the Easter Bunny, and you get to tell an original fairy tale about how she came about? How cool is that?
But isn't a fairy tale good? I mean, a fairy tale, you know, I think actually people forgot how nice it is to use that word as a fairy tale. Even on my book, It's Never Too Late for Love, it's like it's everyone deserves a fairy tale ending. I think people like that. I mean, you know, people, they look over the years, look what's still popular among kids.
Exactly. And one of my favorite things that I did many years ago is, tell a Sasquatch. Sasquatch. I told an original story about how the Sasquatch came about, and this group of people in LA saw it and made it into an app. So now there's an I'll Tell a Sasquatch. How fun is that?
Yeah.
So one thing Charlie and I are excited about is that it's vertical marketing. Sure, we're going to do a feature film, but we want a book to come out. We want, because not everybody wants to watch a movie. Charlie and I really want to make sure that at the end of the day, whatever method that someone wants to learn our story, we have it available to them, because it's about them, not about us. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's, vertical market, right. I mean, that's really the way it is, because, and that's a good thing, because, the kids like that, too. I mean, they love being involved in all of this. Kids are a lot smarter than adults give them credit for. Kids like them.
They're a lot smarter than adults.
Yeah, well.
So to cut to the chase, we're starting with the feature film. That's going to be our anchor.
Yeah, yeah, because he has to start somewhere, right, And it isn't always easy to start with the book, I would like to believe it starts that way, but it's hard, and a lot of people, and it's the script, and it's, so how long is this going to be? Do you have an idea?
What do you mean?
For the script,
movie
timeline? How long you...
It's a normal children's feature length. You'll trim it a little. So it's at this point, you say between 70 minutes and 90 minutes, somewhere in between.
Yeah, because I think even in the adult market now, it's 90. A lot of the movies are 90 minutes, because it costs more money if they keep going, But 90 minutes, I don't think you need that much more time to tell a story sometimes, if you keep a story going for like 2.5 hours, that's when people take a nap in between. They're tired. They just it's hard to keep the momentum going the whole time. So if it's like 90 minutes, it's pretty good because you can just go through it and that's the whole story. If you've got a long time when you go they probably should have stopped this movie 15 minutes or 20 minutes ago. Because sometimes they just add stuff, and I write smaller books, novellas, because even in Hollywood, when they're looking at a book, they're not looking at a 400-page book. That's not happening. They're not reading it.
Yeah.
So, shorter projects, I think, work these days, for people. Everybody's, it's different now,
Yep.
Yeah, for good or ill, our attention spans are short. They really are. And so without making it pap, we want it to be deep. We want to pull people in and have something that they want to watch again and again too. But we want to keep them awake and interested and engaged. And I think the fact that it's just pure fancy too, it's pure fun. I think that's particularly with kids, and will keep their attention. Also, in the kids market, you're not making it for kids because parents have to sit through this,
yes,
right?
Right, I know.
You look at
right.
how Disney so masterfully does this. And so
yes.
the adults become fans as well. And so that's really, we're making a film that Randall and I both want to watch.
I remember when
yeah,
I went
exactly.
to see Up, like Up, you know, and Ed Asner
yeah.
was the voice. And it was,
yeah.
you know, when I we started watching, and I thought, like, this looks like a adult movie, you know, and as it went on, and the colors
right.
were beautiful, and the story was so nice, you know, and
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that was a turning point where they realized, oh, we can do nice, too, where the parents and the whatever,
yeah.
grandparents, whatever, like to watch the movie with the child, and I think it's really, it's a good experience for the child, and the parent, it's not where they drop them off, and they go, okay, see you in an hour and a half, you know, they can sit with
right.
them and have a family outing. You know, and when they watch it on TV together, it's good.
And it's universal themes, too.
Yes.
So, again,
yeah,
identity
I think that
and
works.
Love and
yeah.
who
yeah.
am I and what, how did I, you know, that's, I think that's going to resonate with adults as well as kids. Or
yes, and I think the better
the
kid, theme.
The kid
and
all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, and sometimes the parents could use to hear some of these, you know,
right.
where they actually,
right.
because, right, you know what, it's bullying and things like that, you know, have always gone on. So I think anything that film producers can do to get that out there where not everybody is the same, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, I think that's like an important message that, you know, we lose sight of sometimes. And that's why it's good if parents can sit with the kids and watch, like Coco. I think, you know, some of these are incredibly, I mean, they're beautiful color and whatever, but the message is important, you know, about
yeah.
family and loving people. I think that, and
well,
that's why Hallmark.
I think what you just said is unbelievably important. One of the early plays that I had touring to parks for children was called The Ogre and the Ugly Princess. And it was four children, and it was, you know, an ogre, an ugly ogre,
yeah.
and fell in love with this princess, and she thought she was horribly, she would never find love. So it's you know,
yeah.
The Ogre and the Ugly Princess, and it's a love story between the princess and this, you know, you got to look beyond the
yes.
surface, you got to look for what's inside, and that's why I'm so excited about this project, is that it's actors and makeup, yeah, yeah, but it's basically frogs crawling into bunny outfits to deliver Easter eggs. So it's not the
yeah.
outside that matters. It's what's in your heart. And those stories are a couple things. They're timeless, and they're
yes.
also important for mothers and dads and children. And we're going to
yeah.
create something that the whole family, and we want that. Charlie and I really want when people sit down and watch it, the family can sit together and all watch it together and all enjoy it together. And that's
well,
nowadays, you don't find a lot
important.
Of that.
It's important. Even my husband is getting used to me watching Hallmark movies because, you know, you know, and then when I'm watching, I go like, all right, fine, we'll do something else. And I go like, oh, you know, and I, there are so many of them. And, you know, even though you know some of the, you know, the outcome and whatever, you just like watching it. It's so much more relaxing than you're watching somebody,
yeah.
you know, somebody getting killed or whatever. You know, this way it's just so calming, you know, where you're just watching
yeah.
it and you don't have, you know, you can just sit there and not be, you know, thinking of other things. It's just a story. And I always believe in a good story because I think that's really important. And I do think a good story takes a beginning, middle, and end. And I've said this a million times, and I hate when people just look at one or two pages of something and they go like, oh, this is not a good story. Well, how do you know that if you don't get to the end?
Yeah.
Because don't you
right,
like it
yeah.
sometimes when you see something and you go like at the end, you go, oh, this was a good story because the ending
yeah.
put
yeah.
it all together. You know,
right.
it
yeah.
can't be
well,
5 minutes.
Because I have a theater upbringing, I look at everything in five acts. Act one, setup. Act two, introductions. Act three, conflict. Act four, partial resolution. Act five, total resolution. So
yeah.
you want to take people on a journey that's not just beginning, middle, and end, and that you
right.
expect everything that's going to happen. So I think Hallmark does a great job with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The
and they've even added, they've even added some. Now, Hallmark has changed a lot in over the past year. You know, they actually had something that wasn't that happy an ending, but it was the only way it could have ended, you know. And Andy McDowell was in it, and it was wonderful. It was a really good movie, but it was kind of sad, but the ending worked out. But you know what? It was something they don't do too often. And it was a difference, mm-hmm. but it was a very good movie. So I think that, you know, even, you know, because sometimes things aren't always perfect either. You know, sometimes you have to have, sometimes for a character to grow or when you're writing it, sometimes something bad does have to happen for them to grow and, you know, change what they might have thought. You know, it can't all work out every, you know, perfectly sometimes, but at the end you go like, well, that's how it had to work out for that person maybe to grow, you know. And so I think you always need those stories. And so Hallmark now is like the one you did, the Christmas story, that does have that in it. And
yes,
that was one
Angel
of the
Sing,
best
yeah,
ones.
Absolutely.
That's before I even knew you that I saw that.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you. Oh, that
you
means
know,
a lot
I always
to me.
Say
thank
that
you.
Because it was good, you uh-huh. know, and the people in it were good. And it was just.
Well,
but
Harry
you don't
Connick
get
Jr.
There,
and Lyle Lovett,
yeah.
you can't go wrong, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Eloise DeJoria, we had, you know, the cast that we had, you know, we were so blessed to have such an. And what I love about Angel Sing is that Fred and the Rankins and the actors and the director and Lou, who wrote it, we all got along. There was no yelling. There was no stress.
Yeah.
And that's the environment that Charlie and I will create, is that life's too short or too long. Pick one. So it's going
to
be a fun
I think that's a good thing. I think by talking to him now, I think you've met your match here, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. It's good, you know, right, because you'll have a good time doing this, but you're doing it for the right reasons, and that's
yeah.
what counts,
yeah.
you know, yeah. and I think that you're going to give some people, you know, some jobs that they may not have gotten before, so I think that's a good thing, you know, when you
yeah.
start casting.
Yeah, we plan on that, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's really important, you know. I think that that's how, you know, life should be. Sometimes you have to give people that extra push, you know, to get them. And
mm-hmm.
you know, hate to say it's who you know, but sometimes it is. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean they get, like you said, doesn't mean they get the best, you know, the leading role, but at least they're there to join in on it,
yeah.
you know. And
well,
so I think that's important.
Because of technology, we really are one degree of separation. It's, you know, I personally believe I can get in front of almost anyone on the planet because of technology that we have today. Now, is that a good thing or a bad? You know, there's going to be, you know, 30, 40 years of debate because, you know, there's good and bad with technology. But
yeah.
I'm looking at what Charlie and I are doing. Worst case scenario is that he and I release it independently through our network platforms, that we already have massive numbers of friends and family. And
yeah.
people that we believe will go, oh, let's support it because it's a good cause and it's easy for us to do. So even our worst case scenario is phenomenally exciting.
Yeah, right. Because it will get done. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And that this is a project that's going to get done.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
We just
need
people to kick money into our crowdfunding.
Well, but you have the talent with the two of you. See, that's the whole thing, though. I mean, you know, everything sounds well and good, but you guys are talented, and you've done a lot of things, so you can get this done, you know. And so
yeah.
the thing is, you've done this for several years. You can't just wake up one day and do this. You know, you have to, you know,
yeah.
sometimes work into it. And I think, you know,
Malcolm Gladwell wrote about the 10,000 hours required to be able to do what you want to do. You know, when I met Randall at 19, I've come a long way since then, doing a million things, and it's just exciting to be back together working in a different
capacity.
But
doesn't that make it better for you? Doesn't it make it better for you that you've done a lot of things? Yeah. Yeah.
It has indeed, yeah.
See, I believe that, too, because last week we were talking about this. We were talking about young adults. You know, I had two authors on that were young adults, or they wrote for young adults, and I haven't had too many shows like that, and it was so interesting. But it's like, you know, you are shaping people when you're doing, you know, younger productions or books or things like that, but we never know what we're going to do. Like, never thought I'd even have a radio show that I'm hosting for 9 years. I never even thought I'd write a book. When you're 16 or 15 or 18, whatever, you don't always know what you're going to do. And that's what I think is a problem for kids now. They think they have to come up with what they want to do when they're 17, and that's not possible.
Right. Right. But I have a kid who's come on to work with me part-time, and for lack of a better term, a production assistant. He's second camera. He's 19.
It's
like gone for a circle. And he teaches
right. And
me.
And don't you
but
like that, though? Because
lot.
To see, yeah, don't you enjoy that?
I do. I love it. And he has a very good outlook on life. He's a freshman at University of Texas, and he knows life is long and that he's building up experiences in a way that I guess I wish I was that wise when I was his age. But he's also just sort of jumping at opportunities, just like we all do. So
I think that's a great thing. And I think, right, and who better to learn from someone that youth at 19 know what that feels like.
Right.
So you can help
right.
him because you already been there, done that. Has always. I think we might
he's
have
on
a,
the project as well. So.
That's great. So right now there might be a caller, but I might have to hang. I can never tell, so we have to see if it's next. If it's a bad one, we're leaving. I've had those. All right, let's see how this goes. Hi, it's Marcia. Did you want to ask a question?
I'm married to the man known as Kid Kelly. I miss.
Oh, it's not. This is what happens now. I don't know what happens. We get these crazies.
Yeah.
I think Randall, you were on another show. We had a crazy. I don't know what happens here.
Anyway,
yeah,
it's me.
I don't
want to
be rude and not
people,
answer it. See, I don't want to be rude
yeah.
and not
Go
answer.
Ahead.
Because sometimes we do have callers, you know, but I didn't even open the chat room because I knew we'll be chatting quite enough, us. So I have no idea what this guy was saying. It doesn't matter. Okay. And, but I think that, you know, when you're 19, like we were just saying, when you're 19 and you have someone that has already, like you have, you know, Charlie, been there, done that. So I think that'll help him a lot.
Yeah.
You know. Because I think that it's always good to start out young and then find out that you can do a million different things
right.
before you
and
get
you
to
follow,
the one
you
thing
can follow
that you
your
like.
Passion.
Yeah.
Right. And there's that it's also good as a young person to remember to the way to the next thing is to do what you're doing now as well as you can. So, you know, put everything you've got into what's in front of you. So,
yeah.
That's what
do
I
a good
do.
Job at whatever it is, and then, you know, move
yeah.
on. Yeah, I think that's a good
thing. Projects lead to good projects, yeah.
Yeah. I'm so looking forward to this part. I'm going to go on Kickstarter and just check this out. You know, because I'm not, you know, I've never been, but I think the way you explained it, it's an interesting concept to how you're explaining it. Because we've not talked about this on the show. So I think that being a part of something for people, they may like that if they're in this field to see how this is all going. You know, and I'm always thinking people will do projects, you know, but I think for you guys, you have the talent to do the other parts, which is the right, you know, directing and producing is hard. You know, you just can't pick it up one day and do it. So I think you've got that going. So then once you do get what you want, I think you'll be on your way to this project, which is a good thing. And you get along.
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
That matters. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So, are you guys going to come? You can come on again, and we'll talk about this. Hopefully, you'll be in.
Love to.
This would be great.
Anytime.
It was so nice meeting. It was really nice meeting you, Charlie. And if you have other projects, Randall knows. Just email me or whatever, and you can come on.
I will.
Randall knows. You know, I'm always saying, okay,
right.
What have we got new? What's happening? So,
yeah.
I like to do
yep.
that.
And
if
folks
you know,
can also
it's not the same.
Us.
I do.
Say again.
Yeah, we will. And where will they follow you? Where can they follow you?
Well, you can follow us at easterfrog.com is our website.
Okay.
We post blog posts and news happenings, and then you can also click through to the Kickstarter campaign there, and contribute. And again, a contribution it's more than symbolic, but it also has a big effect in saying yes, me too. Let's go, guys. Let's make this happen. That's really what we're
looking for. Yeah, and maybe by watching you, they can become, you know, film you know, production, they can get into production, they can get in, they might think they have a good story to tell. You know, I think there is room for always a good story, you know, and that's why I do the show, because I hope people will not stop writing, because you just because you get rejections doesn't mean anything. I have a lot of them. Who cares? I'm just going to keep going. We all have we not been rejected? Of course, you know, and we all have. Yeah, well, that's different. That's a whole different subject.
Oh, is it? Okay. I love it.
I have those shows, too.
Oh, I love it.
All right, Randall, anything, any last words, Randall?
I just want to, again, thank you so much for
having you're welcome.
Your show. I really appreciate you. And
thank you.
For people that
fun.
Are listening, thank you for listening. And follow us on different platforms, and hopefully we'll have the feature done soon, and we'll put it out there. So thank you again.
And it's so exciting. I wish you luck on this. It's going to be good. So, all right. So I will go on Kickstarter. Everybody go on Kickstarter. I'm going to go look and go on the website. And it was so nice having you both. Thank you so much, and all the luck. And
thank
I'll talk
much.
To everybody else
appreciate
in a
it.
Week or so. Okay, have a great night.
Right.
Not nighttime,
you
actually.
Take
I'm
care.
Used to my night shows. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.